I'm Pierre Lumumba speaking here from Naiposha Garden in Limuru in Kenya. And today we want to have a conversation about the role of foreign intelligence agency in post-colonial African states. And it's always useful to begin from the beginning. I always remember this story that is very clearly told in a book that is written by Ludo de Wet. Ludo de Wet writes a book, The Assassination of Patrice Emery Lumumba. And this is an assassination that takes place in 1961 when the leading independence fighter, Patrice Emery Lumumba, is eliminated by the Belgians. And of course, we now know that the Americans were also involved, courtesy of history. And we are told that as early as the 1960s, the Belgian intelligence agencies and the American intelligence agencies had recruited Mobutu Sese Seko, then known as Joseph Desire Mobutu, to be part of the agency that was going to eliminate Patrice Emery Lumumba. And we know that at that time, and it is interesting when you read the story of the assassination of Lumumba, he had been given a code name which was being used, code name Satan. And that is how, when on the day and on the occasion of the independence of the Democratic Republic of Congo, as the prime minister, they did not want Patrice Emery Lumumba to speak, but he spoke. And after that, we know how the Western agencies have continued to be very active in the affairs of the Democratic Republic of Congo, with the consequence that Congo has never known peace and remains rich in resources, but poor in terms of the support that she gives to her people. And it's not only that, we also know that any African leader who attempted to do anything that suggested that he or she was independent was removed. This was the case of Ghana's Kwame Nkrumah. When Nkrumah had written his famous book, Neocolonialism, The Last Stage of Imperialism, while he was on a visit to Hanoi in Vietnam and on his way to China, it is the British intelligence that leaked to his host that he had been overthrown. And we know what happened because the foreign intelligence agencies were active in Ghana. Nkrumah, of course, then was overthrown and was exiled until he died in 1972. And he watched the events in Ghana as they were happening while he was accommodated at that time by Ahmed Sekou Touré in Guinea. The other person that we know who was a victim of foreign activities was Modibo Keita of Mali. Modibo, as we know, had wanted to form an alliance between Mali and Ghana, and the French could not allow that to happen. And the French agency, intelligence agency, was in the midst of destabilization of the country that we know as Mali. And it was not only the French. We have already seen how the British were involved, how the French were involved, how the Americans were involved. The Portuguese were also involved. In Guinea-Bissau, Amilcar Cabral, who was one of the leading individuals in the struggle for independence and a pan-Africanist in his own right, was also eliminated from the scene. And we know that up till now, Guinea-Bissau remains a country that is controlled in many ways by drug lords, even if the government tries to behave otherwise. We also know that the administration of Agostinho Neto in Angola was also the subject of the machinations of the Portuguese intelligence. In the recent past, we have also seen how in different countries, foreign intelligence has been involved in mounting coup d'etats. We know as a fact that when Apollo Milton Obote of Uganda was attending a Commonwealth meeting in Singapore, the British had already notified the host that Obote would not return to Uganda, and Idi Amin had been instituted as the leader through a coup d'etat in 1971. And we know that from 1971 through to 1986, it is a new administration that restored some kind of normalcy in that part of the world. And we see in Rwanda, for example, there is evidence to suggest that the French were involved and that the French knew what was going to happen in 1984, genocide against the Tutsis. We know the activities in Central African Republic, and we know how they participated in the elimination of Thomas Noel Isidore Sankara in Burkina Faso. We also know that there was some foreign agency, foreign intelligence agency, in the downing of the plane that brought down, that killed Samora Moises Machel. And all these are suggesting one thing, that as long as Africa remains in a state of disunity, and it's important to remind ourselves, Africa is weak, and her weakness is because she's divided into 54 unviable countries. I remember a speech which I had the advantage of listening to on the 6th day of March, 1997, in Accra, Ghana. Tanzania's Julius Kambarage Nyerere delivering the speech. And he reminded his audience that as long as we are disunited, all foreign agencies are going to confuse us. They are going to tell us that we are different. They are going to remind Ghanaians that they are different from Senegalese, to remind Kenyans that they are different from Ugandans, to remind Sudanese that they are different from Egyptians. But when all is said and done, who brought about these differences? Is it not them who are sitting in Berlin that divided us, dividing communities? Is it not them that are telling us that we are different? And he continued, when I travel out of Tanzania, the people I meet only recognize us as Africans. They do not know who a Kenyan is and they do not care. They do not know who a Ghanaian is and they do not care. They do not know who a South African is and they do not care. But we in Africa are continuing to divide ourselves on the basis of artificial entities that were created by the Western world. And even within those entities, we are dividing ourselves along tribal lines. How can we in the 21st century, Nyerere interrogated, still talk about things of the tribe? Does the tribe create jobs, he asked? Does the tribe improve healthcare? Does the tribe ensure that we have infrastructure? Yet you allow your bankrupt politicians to mobilize you on the basis of ethnicity because Western agencies also love you to be divided along ethnicities. I want to submit that the time is now for African countries to recognize that our strength lies in our ability to organize our affairs. Why is it that 60 years after independence, the East African community cannot have an intelligence agency that is not trained in the United States or trained in the United Kingdom? Why is it that SADC, 14 countries, cannot have intelligence agencies that are created and trained in the continent of Africa? Why is it that ECOWAS cannot have intelligence agencies that are created in the continent and are trained? Why is it that the Maghreb and Central Africa cannot do so? And under the aegis of the African Union, is it impossible for us to train our police officers? Is it impossible for us to train our intelligence agencies? Is it impossible for us to train ourselves on things that are unique to the continent of Africa? Why must we rely on others to train us on the things that we can do as if we are children of a lesser God? The time is now for African countries and African continent to remove the wax from our ears and the scales from our eyes so that we are able to recognize that he or she who controls your intelligence controls you. That is why when there is an emergency in Kenya or in Tanzania, we rely on the Americans to tell us. When there is COVID, we rely on the British to tell us. When there is going to be an earthquake, we rely on the Japanese to tell us. When will we tell ourselves? This is the question that we must ask. And the time is now for us to cut our umbilical cords with these institutions so that if we have to collaborate with them, we collaborate from a standpoint of equality. It pains me, as it should pain Africans, that if there is a small problem in Kenya, we say we want the Scotland Yard. For how long shall we want the Scotland Yard? Are they not human beings like us? Are they not capable of doing the things that we too are capable of doing? I've heard it in my country, Kenya. When there is a small thing, we say we want the FBI. We want the Scotland Yard. I've heard those who are colonized by the Belgians, we want the Belgian intelligence. Those who are colonized by the French say we want the French intelligence. How long shall our mother continent continue to rely on others? How long shall we continue to be children in adulthood? How long shall we depend on intelligence agencies whose agenda is to control our information? In these days when we talk about information as king, the time is for us to recognize that our intelligence must be homegrown and our collaboration with other intelligence agencies must be on the basis of mutual interest, not on the basis of domination. If we do that, this continent will realize what she deserves, which is sustained development politically, economically, socially, culturally, spiritually, and otherwise. That is what Africa must aim for. Thank you very much. As we continue our conversations about the continent of Africa, I wish you very short goodbyes. We'll come back again. We are here at the Naiposha Gardens in Limuru in Kenya, and the conversation continues apace.